Hello, you're listening to Football Sack Podcast, the award-winning Football Sack Podcast. My name is Matt Greenlaw. I'm your host. I am joined in the studio by Supernova Pete. Say g'day, mate.
G'day.
Also sitting next to me is Michael Rochek. Hello to you.
G'day, boys. Good to be back.
There's a lot of news happening at the moment, and to start us off with that...
Straight to the news desk.
Straight to the news desk with Pete Nowakowski. We weren't going with that?
No. Okay. The countdown until the A-League begins is down to 90 days. If you haven't already secured your club membership, do it today. And if your club hasn't released their membership, send them an email and abuse them. It appears that the Harakiul saga is almost over with manager Bernie Mandich claiming that the player will be looking for first-team football overseas after stalled negotiations with FFA. Former Perth Glory and North Queensland Fury player Robbie Fowler has signed a shock deal with Thai club Muay Thong United. This has surprised a number of fans after Fowler had said he was leaving Glory to develop his coaching skills overseas. The mystery of where Mustafa Amini will play his football next season is now over, with Borussia Dortmund claiming the youngster's signature. Adelaide have picked up Dario Vidicic on a three-year deal from German side FC Nürnberg. And finally, the Asian Football Confederation have a 14-point plan of how the A-League could be improved, with emphasis on cup competition, as well as considering the option of multiple broadcasters. And that's the news.
So much news there. And it's from a bit of a croaky voice this morning, Supernova. Where is that? What's the reasoning behind that?
Shut up. I don't have a croaky voice.
We did quiz you
on
it.
My voice is fine.
On Beyond the 90. And it turned out that you were playing not football at university games, which you were at during the week. You were playing what sport?
A lovely sport called netball.
Oh, the crowd were pretty...
Actually, let me do this again. I was playing netball. Yay! The crowd's happy.
Fickle crowd today.
Yeah, really, they're a bit crazy.
Yeah.
What happens is you hold up a sign that says applause and they applause, and you hold up a sign that says boo and they just boo for us.
That makes it sound brilliant. Like we've got a studio audience.
Which we do. Like to join our studio audience, send us a tweet.
Really early in the morning, on a Sunday morning.
I was down in Canberra the entire week for uni games, playing netball.
And did you win?
We came 14th out of 18 teams, mainly because
that's
played
a
lovely game called Simon Says.
Yeah, you were playing Simon Says, which made us think of a game that we could play ourselves, which we're going to call Matt Simon Says. So yeah, a little bit later in the show.
I'm sure we can work out a little intro right now. It's the same thing as what we did with player tweets. So let's give it a go.
We're going to do it a bit later.
No?
We'll do that a little bit. You've got to hype it up. Got to hype it up a bit in the show.
Okay.
Just to make sure that they listen for the whole entire 30 minutes.
I like the way you think.
There's a lot of news happening there that you've just talked about. Let's first up talk about all the transfers that are happening across the league, because I guess the big news is the Harakiul saga that's ongoing.
But the Star Wars saga is better.
The Star Wars, yeah. A long time ago, last week.
No, in a galaxy far, far away.
Pretty close to home.
Yeah.
Is he staying, going? I'm not sure.
Yeah, anything's possible. Like we said in the news, Bernie Mandich has come out saying on Sen Radio down in Melbourne that it might not be happening with problems with FFA. Depending on the newspaper or what you read, which Twitter feed you're looking at, is either signed with Melbourne, signed with Sydney. Who knows? He might have even signed with Wellington Phoenix and we just don't know about it yet.
I think he might go and sign for that Thai club, Muang Thong United. Ooh. What do you guys think?
Play alongside Robbie Fowler. I reckon that combination would be even beautiful.
That would be a nice combination. But yeah, so the real sticking point, it seems as though Melbourne Victory are happy to take an 80-20% split on the increase in revenue from last season, happy to grow the brand with Harakiul's number on the back of a probably number 10 jersey. And the real sticking point, therefore, is not with clubs. It's actually with the central administration and the FFA, and perhaps Frank Lowy's vice-like grip on the gate takings. They're not happy to give up their exclusive rights to that.
Because they've offered $250,000 to flat rate. Obviously, Harakiul and Bernie Mandich, well, probably more so Bernie Mandich, is unhappy with the $250,000. Kiel has come out to say that money would be used for his charity or to set up a sports clinic, a football clinic. So he's playing the sympathy card.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is $250,000 going to do for Harakiul? Not that he shouldn't blink at that. I mean, $250,000 is a lot of money. Well done to the FFA for offering it. But it's probably a month's worth of wages for him, to be brutally honest, and it really doesn't show a lot of respect for what his service to the game has been.
But surely the 70-30 split for the away games is not showing respect to the A-League, because that's a lot of money for the A-League as a whole, and to give that all to one player, and who's to say that the basis for this is that A-League crowds won't be boosted without Harry Kewell, and if crowds are boosted, and that's not on the back of Harry Kewell signing, then that money still goes to Harry Kewell, whether that was his influence or not.
I'm inclined to think, though, that a 70-30 split is a very good deal. It means that the clubs aren't directly out of pocket as a result of Harry Kewell signing. Sure, that 70% is going to one player, but it doesn't mean straight away that a club is forced to fork out a whole lot of money when a lot of them are operating below budget already and are operating at a loss.
It's odd because is that 70 or is that 80% that they would get from home games that he would get? Is that over and above the... Because at the moment, profit is hard to come by because stadium deals are in such a way that you don't get profit from that much at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the 80% is really to do with the club's revenue as opposed to home game takings, because the home games for clubs, they don't actually get any money until the FFA gives it back to them in some sort of weird money shifting cycle that Frank Lowy likes to perform. Anyway, Frank performing for money is probably not the impression we want to give to our listeners.
I can just imagine him juggling like three wads of money on a unicycle.
Yeah. And the wads of money keep diminishing in value with the A-League sort of not doing the best at the minute. But look, to be brutally honest, I think that Harry's deal, the 70-30 split, is a very interesting deal in the way it's composed. I think it's something that the FFA should have given a bit more thought to, and perhaps I think Frank is not being fair dinkum with the amount or the extent to which he doesn't want to lose control over that, and really has to look at it in a longer term perspective. I think Harry's deal would only have been for 1, maybe 2 years, and then we would have gone back to Frank getting all the money.
All right, we've talked too much already about Harry Kewell. Mm. You spoke briefly, Pete, about Robbie Fowler, interesting move to a Thai club.
Yes.
We thought he was moving back home, possibly into a coaching role or something along those lines, but no, he's taken up a money offer in Thailand.
Well, I guess it's the saying of one last pay packet. Just a bit more money for him. I don't think he really needs it. He doesn't need to be playing, to be honest. Mm. He just needs to be... He's at that age now whereby he should be over there coaching or doing something else to further his footballing experience, more so than standing on a field in front of, I don't really know how many fans they're going to be getting, but I don't see why he should be over there. But look, credit to him. If he's going to go over there, play a game of football, score a couple of goals, win some more fans, whatever, like, go for it. I'm all for it. So.
Well, it's interesting. I don't think he needs the money. The Scousers in the Cop sing, "We all live in a Robbie Fowler house, a Robbie Fowler house." And broadly,
they probably do.
Yeah, exactly. Broadly speaking, they kind of do. He's a property mogul in England. But I don't understand the move. It's clearly about money. He's not going to learn anything in Thailand that he doesn't already know. He's not going to be able to develop his coaching because he doesn't speak Thai.
Yeah.
He's obviously very much about money because during the Perth Glory off-season, I guess, and at the moment, he went over to Russia, I believe, and played some sort of one of those games for money. A select 11. I'm not even sure it was for charity. I'm sure he got a big pay packet for that. I think it was the Russian president even played in the game or something along those lines. It was, so he's very money focused.
Mm, yeah, it's a bit disappointing. I think, you know, he would have been great with Shane Smeltz at Perth Glory. And they could have used him last night against Celtic as well.
Most definitely.
Yeah, goal in each half. Celtic won 2-0 on the night. So and a good crowd. And I'm sure Neil Sherwin, who's listening, would be pretty happy with that for his club and to see Liam Miller close up.
There's actually a match report up now from Neil Sherwin about the Perth Glory Celtic FC match, which Celtic won 2-0. So get onto the football sack and check that out.
He's also got a great interview with Liam Miller up there as well, and it's definitely worth a read too. Really quickly, again, on A-League transfers, we have talked about Mustafa Amini. He's signed with Borussia Dortmund and been loaned back, I think, on German wages, which was pretty...
the deal was Dortmund offering 135,000, and the rumour is a substantially larger offer. So it hasn't been announced how much money has actually been passed through, like back at the hand kind of stuff.
And Rocek, it's not in Deutschmarks because that went out a long time ago when the euro came in.
Don't want to go back to the German wages debacle that was a few weeks ago now. That was my first podcast, and the less said about that, the better.
We gave him a few raps over the wrist for that one. Let's move on. Finally, Daniel Severino.
Yes.
Has moved to the Gold Coast. Is that deal almost done, Pete?
It's pretty much 99% done. So it just needs the signature on the piece of paper and it's confirmed.
Now, he is a Sydney Olympic boy, formerly of Bonnyrigg.
Yep.
Follows, hopefully or possibly, Alex Smith, who was also a Sydney Olympic boy who has headed out.
Yes, also follow Aman Hadid from Bankstown City. Because all three of those have had trials with Gold Coast. Alex Smith has already signed the contract. Severino's almost there.
Maron Blyberg, he's scouting, isn't he?
He's getting around, that's for sure.
Because he's been up at the Queensland State League matches as well.
Yep.
I know Christian's said g'day to him and seen him there.
Yep, Mel Jinjuski's seen him a couple of times
everywhere.
As well.
He's scouting, because he wants to operate at 75% of the cap.
Yes.
And get these youth players that are hopefully going to be competitive.
But look, then you can't say that any one of these guys are lesser players than anyone else, because Severino's free kicks are absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The way that Hadid can hold that centre midfield as well as playing a centre forward is just fantastic, and he's such a good player whenever he switches on. Alex Smith, best centre forward in the New South Wales Premier League. So you can't say that these guys are not up to that quality. They just need that game time, and look, I honestly think that they could be some of the best players in the A-League.
Well, that's
with game time.
Yeah, big calls there though, because we've also seen the next developmental stage in the A-League take place. We've got Dean Bazanis, who's come from Liverpool in England to Melbourne Victory in search of first team football. That's a huge transfer, boys. And again, Dario Vidicic, another current Socceroo, coming home at, really the height of his powers. So the A-League's come of age. We've got Bazanis and Vidicic, and I tell you what, when Melbourne Victory play Adelaide, that's going to be something to watch.
Most definitely.
All right, that's it for A-League transfer news. We're going to take a tiny little break and be back after this.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
We're going to jump in to a new segment in replace of player tweets, mainly because we're a bit lazy and we didn't find any player tweets, so we thought,
that we're lazy.
There were no player tweets this week. What are you talking about? There was a ban on all A-League players doing tweets.
There were no players on Twitter
this week.
Definitely
what happened. Let's jump into the familiar intro of
Matt Simon Says!
Yeah.
It doesn't work, but it's worth it. Let's go.
You guys are shocking. Every time you have an idea, you just sing out like that.
Hey, people like us singing, even with my croaky voice.
All right, the idea behind the Matt Simon Says, Pete was at Uni Games last week and ended up deciding a netball match with a game of Simon Says.
So we ended up playing a 50-all draw. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. So we thought, well, what would football do in that? In that respect. So we thought, well, Matt Simon Says. Matt Simon,
yeah.
Central Coast player.
That's right. Matt Simon, sometimes not the most technically gifted player, and we probably don't even want to repeat what he actually says on the game in the games, because he tends to have a fair bit to say. But what does Matt Simon say, Matt?
Shoot over the bar!
Yep, Matt does shoot over the bar more often than he shoots under the bar. What else might Matt Simon say, Matt?
I'm the most fouled player in the A-League.
I like
how the voice changes halfway through. That's beautiful, mate. That's so good.
He is the most fouled player in the A-League, but he's also the biggest fouler, individual fouler in the A-League. I think that says a lot about the quality and character of the man.
Scoring with your shin is okay.
And he does do a lot of scoring with his shin and claim it like it was, some of the best individual performance of that A-League week.
Now, finally, we thought, it's the Matildas World Cup campaign at the moment. Let's put a female spin onto this this segment. So we've got Kaya Simon Says. And Kaya Simon Says,
I'm not related to Matt Simon. And boys, I just want to maybe at this point in the show say something about the fact that she's not Matt Simon and how clear that is. Over the past few weeks, I've really taken a bit of a shining to Kaya. What? I'm getting heckled with music, but I did want to say she is Tim Cahill-esque in the air, and that's enough to get me excited. But she is absolutely beautiful, boys. I can't speak highly enough of this song, Matilda. She does it for me. She is an amazing talent and absolutely beautiful. So I just want to say I love you, Kaya Simon.
Yeah, would you say you love how she plays?
I would say that, but I would say I love how she is. She is a performer, and she's a fantastic story for the women's game. She's the first Indigenous player to score at a Senior World Cup, so I think that's something to be said. But yeah, I do take a shining to her.
So yeah, Matt Simon says they're wrapped up kindly by Michael Rocek with an ode to Kaya Simon.
Yeah, sorry boys, I kind of took over that Matt Simon says and took it into Kaya land.
No, you know what? That leads us perfectly into the next segment, which is going to be talking about the Matildas. So, Pete, do you want to just take us through the results of the past week?
Yeah, sure. Well, Matildas ended up playing a 3-2 win over Equatorial Guinea. Not saw a handball in the box there. We won't
just
talk about that.
Just a little handball. What happened there? Lena Karmas hits the post. The ball bounces back straight into two hands of an Equatorial Guinea defender who caught it. Looked at the ball, looked up again, looked down at the ball, looked up again. Lena Karmas was protesting. They stopped protesting. She was still holding the ball and then dropped it and then cleared it. No penalty. Not even a free kick. Not even an indirect in the box.
See, look, you weren't really thinking. The player switched to be goalkeeper for like that 3-second gap. It was like, I'm a keeper. Oh, no, wait, you're a keeper now. I'm dropping the ball.
In the opposite team's goal box. It was about 3 seconds that she had that ball. And we're sure that you've probably checked it out. But if you haven't already, jump on YouTube because you need to see what the world is calling the worst handball ever.
It's pretty bad.
It was probably the longest continuous handball in the history of the game, and it wasn't called. That Hungarian referee has a lot to answer for, and I think Les Murray would have somehow got it through his Hungarian networks and had a few choice Magyar words to say. I tweeted that, and Vidor Sobral said I said a few things to her in Portuguese, which I can't repeat.
A bit colourful language there.
Yeah.
But the other game that the Matildas played was a 2-1 win over Norway.
And who scored those goals?
That would be your favourite player in the universe, Kaya Simon.
Quite honestly, taking nothing away from her performances, the first goal. Let's talk about the first goal. Because
the first goal, Lisa Devana latching on a ball which the defender had just lost, through the legs, takes it through, nice little pass. Kaya Simon finishes off with the inside of the foot. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was the outside because it was her right foot and she sort of sliced it. She was, I'm getting closed down very, very fast. She sliced it across the face of goal and into the side netting of the goal. Absolutely beautiful.
And it was as easy as you like. She made it look so, so easy and was so calm on the ball. Just one tap. Was it inside or outside of the foot?
I think it was the outside. It was the right foot. She sliced it away from the goalkeeper. But to give it a bit of context to the goal and your observation of easy as you like, it did look very easy, but they were under the pump, and that wasn't easy as well. After Servet Uzunlar again had a bit of a shocker and gave the ball away in a really poor area, Kaya Simon just slotted shot.
Thinking about Servet Uzunlar, do you think that she deserved her spot at that centre back, depending on the way that she played against Norway?
Can they risk her? Can they risk bringing her on, knowing that she's had these three mistakes, and she knows that as well? So she will be very wary that she has done that. And that can be the worst time to bring someone on. So it might be time, just drop her for a match, let her find her feet again, and then bring her back when she's had a bit of a rest.
Who knows? Well, tonight we've got Westfield Matildas versus Sweden. That's 9 p.m. kickoff, SBS2, if you're listening to the podcast today. Awesome. Get along if you are listening to it tomorrow. Well, I'm predicting a 2-1 win.
Yeah, I think a 2-1 win is a pretty good outcome. Just we spoke to Adam Peacock on Beyond the 90, our radio show, and his view was that you've got to stay with the current formation at the back. It's probably a bit late to kind of to chop and change there, and I think we've got to stay with Servet Uzunlar for this game.
Great. So if you haven't thought about it already, get along at 9 o'clock, SBS 2, is it?
Yep, SBS 2.
SBS 2.
Get on there.
Get on it.
Yep.
We'll all be watching.
Yep. If I'm still awake, I'll be tweeting. Yeah. I'll try my best to stay
on the football sack. Otherwise, I think Matt Collard has been doing a wonderful job on the Twitter so far with the Matildas matches.
Yeah, so we have to thank him very much for that.
And you can follow him at Parking the Bus. He has an amazing blog, just as an aside, and he was up for Blogger of the Year alongside Les Murray and Christian Leyland. He's been doing some tactical analysis for a couple websites as well. So good on Matty Collard.
Well done, Matty.
The final thing that we're going to talk about today is this AFC 14-point plan that they've given the A-League.
Yeah, well, the Asian Football Confederation has spent the last week looking at the A-League, examining it. They did the exact same last season, gave a couple of opinions then, and said, maybe you want to fix this up. And the A-League said, oh, yeah, sure, we'll do it. They made a couple of changes for the better. AFC have come out saying, okay, here's a couple more changes you could do.
Pete, can you just run through a couple of the key points?
Yeah, sure. It's a 14-point plan. First point, the first three actually refer to the competition. One saying the league has to have a promotion and relegation system and or maybe reconsider the entire league.
How do we feel about a promotion and relegation system? It's something we've discussed a little bit on the podcast. It's a question of how you keep clubs financially viable if they're playing in a second league.
Yep.
It could be a tough one. And the AFC have always said to us, yep, you need a second league. But
I'm not for it at all because we've had it in the past and we all know how that turned out. The A-League, we've had this fresh start. We need to consolidate it. I love the word that Rochek uses quite often is to consolidate. Mm. And I believe
it's the lawyer in him.
Don't out me like that in the podcast.
it's look,
the doctor in him.
Okay. Point number two, to organise more.
I love Kaya Simon. That's as much outing as we need in this this podcast episode.
Point number two, to organise more matches with a knockout cup or league cup competition.
Which is already coming into effect.
We hope. We've sort of seen some glory statements from the FFA, but really no solid plans. We've seen them expressly strike out
exactly
with the Mirabella Cup, but you know.
Well, it had better come into effect, otherwise we're going to have some interesting words to Ben Buckley.
Yes, I might even send a letter. That's how angry I am,
Pete. When we eventually get our meeting with Ben Buckley, that we don't know what's going on with that. We will have some words to the effect of,
"Yeah,
hey Ben Buckley,
hey, what's happening, buddy?
How you going? Maybe think about what are you doing this week? Okay. Going to get the FFA Cup.
Point started. Number three." Possibly increase the registration or number of professional players for each team.
Mm.
We can just say Youth League plus the A-League first team, those two together, it's good enough. Mm.
It's an interesting one. When you make players professional, they're going to expect to get professional wages. And with a salary cap of, what is it, $2.25 million at the moment?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
How are we going to... Again, it's a question of capacity, but there are some other good points that the AFC have raised.
Consider the option of multiple broadcasters. That one there is huge.
Which is a big point. It's always a big point in Australia, whether you go to free-to-air or you stick with exclusive rights on Fox Sports. Fox Sports have been doing a fantastic job so far with the coverage of the A-League and the money that they've injected into the game. But the coverage that the free-to-air stations, obviously, it's an old argument. We don't need to discuss too much about it. They're just rehashing that, I feel.
Yeah, pretty much. The last point which I'm going to discuss is a technical side, whereby the AFC have suggested that clubs need to establish comprehensive youth development programs and to hire technical experts to oversee the administration and technical matters of the club.
I think we're seeing that. I think that's exactly. Already coming into effect, and you're seeing a good crop of good youngsters that are showing technical ability far in excess of what some of their older forebears have got at the moment.
Exactly. So look, if we go through this list, we can basically just go, yep, check, done, check, yep pretty good. And it's like half tick because we're almost there.
Are you saying my name when you say check?
Sure, why not? Check.
We like to check things off. You should, let's start some sort of segment that is the Rochek segment. We can just check stuff off. Mm. We'll have a list every week and we'll check things off. Mm. What do you think?
Check.
I like lists.
Just quickly on this 14 points, one of the points in there was the media mix zone, which I really like. It was in place in the Champions League, the AFC Champions League, where players were able to mix freely with the journos. And being budding journos, we are all for that. So if there's anyone out there listening that has decisions over that, do it.
Basically, yeah, the media mix zone is like an area where the players have to walk through on the way to the dressing room, and there are multiple media outlets that can interview them as they walk past, and it's something that's really, really good. I mean, you get many more player interviews that way. You don't have journos sitting outside the dressing room for a few hours going, when are they going to get out of the bloody showers and and have a chat to us?
And what that then encourages is more coverage. You get these, you make it really accessible for journalists to interview these players post game, and then you'll see it the next day in the newspaper. So you won't have to wait a couple of days. The journo won't have to follow up on the interview, perhaps go to the club or whatever. It just needs to be done.
Absolutely. And you know what? It actually provides a really nice angle for journalists to start writing their stories with. If they interview Matt Simon, and Matt Simon has a few choice words to say about the referee, which he generally will, you know, there is your angle. Matt Simon feels hardly done by. Matt Simon criticises the referees, and it creates...
Matt Simon says.
So it really, it just kind of, it really builds the personalities as much as coverage of the league. So I'm all for that. That's an excellent, excellent suggestion by the AFC.
Just to finish up, basically.
I was going to get you quick. Do you have any quick thoughts on any of those 14-point plans that you're the main...
I agree with pretty much all of them, to be honest. I think it's a fantastic idea to have the AFC step in and say, neutral party view on the A-League, how it can be bettered. I think it's just a fantastic idea.
And that is the role of the governing federation of a region. It's to make these suggestions and increase the overall success and operation of its member countries in the confederation.
Yeah, look, just to finish up, I just wanted to mention it's the Waratah Cup 2011 final today between Manly United and Mounties Wanderers.
And personally, I really want to see the Mounties get up. Because
State League one side versus New South Wales Premier League.
That's
side.
Right.
Come on, Mounties.
Wouldn't that be one of those fairy tale endings that Aussies love the underdog getting the win.
And isn't that what FFA Cup should be all about? It should be about a team like Mounties playing against Melbourne Victory or Sydney FC in the final, and having that, you know, ridiculous moment where they have the chance to win as amateurs against a professional side.
What I would like to see is Sydney FC haven't organised too many pre-season games yet, and in this Waratah Cup finals, similar to what the Melbourne Heart are doing down in Victoria with the Mirabella Cup, they're playing the winner of the final. I would like to see, should the Mounties win, I'd like to see the Mounties versus Sydney FC.
It'd be a massive fixture, it'd be awesome, and I do kind of worry. When Sydney FC or Central Coast or Newcastle tend to play a State League side or a Premier League side, the scores are generally a bit of a blowout, but it's not to take anything away from the standard in those leagues. It's just that these guys are, playing professionally and training and don't do anything else week to week.
Well, I guess you might see that firsthand. Southern Sharks are actually playing a friendly against Newcastle Jets on the 20th of July. That game is free. So
free.
Get along to Seymour Shore Park. Rockdale City Suns is also playing Newcastle Jets on the 27th of July. Not too sure if that game's free. If it isn't, it's only $10 to get in. Come on.
You know
$10.
What else is free? The Football Sack Podcast. Hey! Nice
subscribe.
One.
Yeah.
Subscribe now, guys. If you're listening to this for the first time, we would love your subscription. There is another show on Fridays, also called the Football Sack Podcast, the Friday show. They were away this past week.
Or does that mean we get to abuse them?
We can abuse them if we'd like. The reason for that is that Christian Leyland is having a swell old time over in Las Vegas. So hopefully he's putting $5 on black for us.
I think he should. I think he needs to. But you know, he's going to a New York Red Bulls game against LA Galaxy, I understand. That will be something. That will be something serious to watch. Thierry Henry, David Beckham, Landon Donovan, Juan Pablo Angel. Great stuff. So he should definitely write an article for the Football Sack and talk about it on the podcast next time he's back.
As editor, I would say, Christian Leyland, you need to do that. I wish to see it saved as a draft. Just 12 hours. Oh, no, what's the call? Is it 1 hour after the game?
Yeah, I think that's what he imposed.
Yeah, Christian Leyland, article after the game, 1 hour, save as draft, and I'll get on to editing it. Let's end the show there. That has been the Football Sack Podcast. Thank you for being on the show, Pete.
No worries. Happy to be here anytime.
Rochek.
Always a pleasure.
tune in next week for Rocheck's segment.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.